B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
This is an important message from the CDC. You have been recognized as someone who has been in direct contact with a person or persons who have COVID-19 coronavirus. You are required to remain where you are and self-quarantine for 14 days and possibly more due to your small wiener. Tiny wieners have will in more quarantine days. Wiener size like yours could triple your time. Please be advised that you have a tiny weenie.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Oh, it's only Tuesday, Jesus. Hey! What's up, everybody? We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and I've been forever been told that the size of my wiener was insufficient and that I'd be more apt to capture disease, and it seems that that has been... finally, the medical associations have found that out and have said that that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that.
It's kind of a trade-off. Would you rather have that, or rather have the coronavirus, or a tiny wiener? Into that,
well, it seems like both of them. They're saying that they go hand in hand.
They must. They must.
Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of just because I have a smaller than average wiener doesn't mean that I need the coronavirus on top of it. For heck's sake.
Somebody sent that to me, and I'm listening to it, and the volume's up in my house. And as soon as the word wiener came out, I think that my son Hank cackled for 30 straight minutes. There's no better word than wiener to set off a 12-year-old laughing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a funny word, wiener.
Is wiener funnier than weenie? Weenie's kind of funny too.
Weenie does not it does not associate itself with a penis. Wiener is very much a penis. Weenie is like kind of just like a schmuck.
I've heard weenus before.
Really? Well, that seems like an alternative band.
Weenus. Well, there's a band called Weedus. They had the hit Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah, I'm just a teenage dirtbag, yes.
Yep. Get Hardy on the case. You might be the only other person who remembers that.
Well, Hardy has a... he's on the satellite radio on the lithium channel where he is forced to know these things.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid crap. So there you go. Did you gentlemen have a good day yesterday?
It was fine. It was Groundhog Day. Yesterday
I was
just
gonna say
it was fine. You know what? Here's the difference. And Bert said this a while back, but he's right. The weather affects everything. I mean, it's like if it's sunny outside, even if you don't even go outside that much, your day's pretty good. If it's rainy, it sucks. And it's like you start to feel like the father from The Shining, and you just start rocking back and forth, and you're like, just make it end. It all has to do, and I've never been in a situation where the weather, or just the sunshine, it's not even how cold it is, it's just the sunshine affects my mood more than it does during this quarantine.
Anything above 30 degrees, I'm getting the kids outside. I don't care what it's like or what they're doing or if they have schoolwork to do. You have to get the kids outside. Use up some of that energy or you're screwed.
Yeah, very cold yesterday. Very cold. Went over to the neighbor's propane tank. He had one of these, what do you call them, blowers with the fire. When you start it up, it's got fire and it blows out the end of it. It's a tube. Do you guys know? It's like almost like a rocket. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No.
Yeah, they use them on job sites. That's right, Dan.
Yeah, sorry, I said that in your headphones. Yeah, they're like awesome space heaters that can just...
Yeah,
you know.
They're like these like giant... So I went over to his house, and we were in the backyard, and he had this giant flamethrower that he had out there.
So that was the highlight of my day. So I got that going for me.
Stand around, stand around a propane heater. That's what you did, yeah?
I was sitting.
Sitting, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, there's a propane heater. I was sitting. And there was propane. There was a lot of fire. And then it had a reverse vacuum in that it was blowing the fire out towards us, thereby making us more comfortable.
You see them on the sidelines sometimes at football games,
yes,
right?
I mean, yeah. You are absolutely correct. That is exactly what I'm talking about. And I did not equate the two together, but that is absolutely what I'm talking about.
He just has one in his backyard, like a random driveway? I mean,
yeah, he's got a whole thing happening.
Okay. Oh, is this Superman, the guy you were talking about?
No,
seems a little bit odd, if you don't use it for...
I think Superman has escaped to the Cape.
Oh, okay.
Is my opinion on that. No, this guy is a, he's got stuff like this. I just don't know how
else to put
it. He's got gadgets. He's got mechanical gadgets.
Sometimes, Fred, you see the ones that are like at the restaurants, the umbrellas, they're like, they look like light posts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen those.
But this was different.
Okay, this is industrial, yeah.
Yeah, this was an industrial heater.
That's somebody who really wants to be outside.
I think it's someone who's...
Like, I mean, why not just go inside?
Well, I mean...
Make a fire pit.
Yeah. It's not as easy as that.
That would seem to be a safer alternative, yeah.
I felt that I was in no danger at any point. I
mean, no, it just seems like quite a contraption to have when, you know, solvable problem.
I think that he has job sites where this is used at, but it was the first time that I'd seen it. And so, yeah, there was it had a giant fire in it, and then it blew the air towards you, the giant fire.
Well, you talk about going outside and how difficult that can be. My mother is having a massive issue right now in South Carolina. So she lives down there, and she lives in one of these neighborhoods that's for mostly older people. And she sent me a picture the other day. I'll put it up later on. And, you know, the weather's really nice down there, and she's stuck inside, and she wants to go outside, and she took a photo that in her front yard there was about a 12-foot alligator just standing right next to her car, maybe 10 feet away from her front door. And it's mating season right now, and they're everywhere.
Oh,
so it's
sexy.
It's all of these old people who are trying to get outside, and I mean, it's littered with alligators wherever you look. And my mother apparently got in a fight on a chat room recently because she asked if she was walking and there was an alligator that came towards her, whether she was allowed to shoot it. And
I've said often that I am not sure of these rules. It would seem to me that you would be allowed to shoot the thing.
I think if it was self-defense, you'd be allowed to shoot it. But I just imagine my mom going around Antioch, woo!
Yeah,
just like open fire at this old folks' place.
Well, first of all, raccoons, I've been told you're not allowed to kill, even though they are feisty and can give you rabies.
Yes.
And then I have also, if you are in a car and there is a line of turkeys, I am not allowed to destroy one of them with my bare hands. That is not allowed. So
now why would you get out of the car and destroy one with your bare hands?
to be able to move.
Oh,
they're
so you walk, you park the car, walk out, crack his neck, and throw him out of the way, and then drive away.
You've already parked. So, like, you're in the street, not in your driveway. You're in the street, and you know there's a line of turkeys. You live in the city. You probably
this happens all the time. It used to happen at near our old office over near Sterling.
And so there's like a million turkeys running around.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to. And I do not own a gun. If I wanted to, and I got out of the car, could I not destroy one of them with my bare hands?
No. Your life's not in danger.
Yeah, but it's an inconvenience. And then I could have a turkey sandwich for lunch. Or if it was around Thanksgiving, I could eat an entire turkey. Do you see? Mm. Very confusing. So I think your mother should be able to kill the alligators.
I think it is if the thing's rushing you and is about to eat your leg, then
I played golf in Hilton Head when they're all laying around like idiots. I've seen old people, but also alligators.
But those alligators, have you seen them just out of nowhere start running?
Yes.
Like they go, they'll sit there for 2 hours.
Your
and
mother
look like
is
an, dead.
Your mother is an alligator in heaven. If you play golf anywhere around there, there's alligators on every hole.
Oh, there's no question. And like my mother lives like by all these little lakes. And this one lake that's right next to hers is apparently like gator sex central. Like that's where they're all humping. And everyone, I mean, it is like the hottest nightclub in town.
No, yeah. I mean, I watch a lot of that on Discovery Channel.
It's the Fens of Gatorland.
Yeah.
Down there.
I mean, we've explored this. It's awesome. But yes.
So she's trapped inside of her. Like the weather's nice. And it's one of those things where like she has to look outside of her window to see if she can even get to her car and just like start running. I mean, she has like one of those cameras on her doorbell. And so what she'll do
is the
ring thing. And you know, it can kind of scan, like she's got it where it can kind of scan like left and right. So it can see places where she can't see. Like when she like looks out the people. And so she'll like look out the door and then she'll scan. And then she'll like run to her car.
So does she have a license to carry?
Yeah. She's had one for years. My mom is a gun.
Yeah.
She is all a right. gun enthusiast.
There you go, baby.
I mean,
what kind of gun?
She's got a bunch of them. Like my mom's got tons of guns.
But if she has a license to carry, so is it did she wear a holster or is it just in her bag?
She's got it like in her purse.
Okay.
Yeah, so she carries one like in her purse. She's got one in her glove compartment. She's probably got one like under her seat. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like when I would go with our kids when they were really little to my mother's house, I'd be like, "Mom, I want to make sure there's no guns, no guns anywhere in here." And my mom one time was like, yeah, we're fine. And then I ended up walking upstairs because I had to use the restroom, and there was like a shotgun lying on her bed. And I'm like, what are we doing here? She's learned since then. But I mean, the kids were like two and five, and I find a shotgun on my mom's bed. Like, what are we doing here?
That's, I agree with you, Rich. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I will go on the record as agreeing with you that that's not a good idea.
We I don't have to worry about it anymore. She's learned her lesson because I went biblical on her after that. Like that was like
you can't have that. No. I just remember my friend's dad owns a bunch of restaurants, and his brother was working for them, and he had like all these handguns, but they had the lock on them, like by the trigger, they locked up. And all we do is screw around with them all day. We just play with the guns.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't do anything.
It was like, you know, I had a friend when I was a kid whose dad had one of those guns that was in several pieces.
Yeah.
And like, oh, they'll never figure out how to put it together. Dude, we were raised on Legos. We know exactly how to put this stuff together. I mean, I think that it took us an hour to figure out how to put his gun that was in pieces all together to make it work.
Well, see, this was a lock, so unless we had, and it was on a key ring, so if we stole his keys, I mean, it would have been quite an enterprise to do this, but if we stole his keys, I suppose that we could have, unlocked the gun, but...
That's the other thing, too, is that, like, when you're a kid, all you have is time, so you know where everything in the house is. You might think you've got something hidden. We knew where every inch of that house, everything was. Now, when I was a kid, my parents didn't have one. That wasn't until I was older, and my mom became Annie Oakley, and got herself her own little arsenal just in case.
Like, what would be the worst? If she shot an alligator, I mean, what are they going to do? Put her in jail for life?
I mean, you can't just opening fire in the middle of like an old folks.
I know where she lives. She lives in Beaufort. You're allowed to shoot things.
I would think that you'd be granted a little more grace than in most places. Yes, it's still weird.
It's funny because I know it very well because like 30 years ago, Buford was where they took you to jail if you got arrested for underage drinking in the internet. So like Buford was nothing. There was nothing there but a jail. So the only thing I knew from Buford was a jail. But now it's a up-and-coming community. All right, Rich. Your mother has many, 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 many guns. We have many, many, many stories to tell, don't we?
Oh, so many stories this morning. Actually, there's some hope that this Thursday night might be the greatest televised draft ever for all the wrong reasons.
I know, and they are lying through their teeth, and I can't wait to discuss it. We will have that for you in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
We are Toucher and Rich, and Rich, what is going on? So much is going on. What is going on?
Well, you know you messed
the
up.
The World Series of Poker, by the way. I mean, can we all agree that we have finally reached the climactic end of entertainment when the World Series of Poker has been delayed until the fall?
Yep. Poor Ben Affleck and Paul Pierce. What are they going to do?
Here I was thinking, you know, at least I'll have the World Series of Poker to tide me over.
Yep.
And then they're telling because I was aware that the World Series of Poker was going on soon.
May 26th, Fred. It was going to start May 26th.
May 26th, like opening day. I'm like, all right, here's the World Series of Poker.
Yep.
And that sadly has been delayed. Now, there's no way they could have conceivably come up with any way to hold it, but
if only there was a possibility of playing poker online.
Or if only there was a possibility of testing people and having them go in and play poker. But listen, let's not get ahead of ourselves in terms of the resources of the National Poker Society. But
did any of you watch the competitive eating thing that was on Friday? Did any of you guys tune in for that?
No,
I didn't. See, I forgot all about it.
I watched round one, and it was done very well because it was a split screen with 10 different faces from their homes, and each one of them had 2 pounds of bologna in front of them. Ooh. And then they're just like, all right, go. And then it's 10 dudes just shoving bologna. Not 10 dudes. It was like 7 dudes and 3 women shoving bologna in their mouths.
Now, did they weigh the bologna? Like, could you see that they all had a scale where they were weighing the bologna?
So I guess a pound is one of those. You can get a pound of Oscar Mayer bologna that's in the pack. Like, it's the ones that, it's like the 2 packs, prepackaged Oscar Mayer bologna bags.
Well, that's what you want. I mean, that's the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. And they were eating them like a burger. It was great. Just like, just biting right into the side of like the entire pack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. So Joey Chestnut got second place in that one. I didn't get to see the rest of the rounds. I just saw the first one. Wow. Joey Chestnut got second place. There's this new young buck who's coming in and taking names.
We were told about him. We were told about his rise to fame in the eating world. We were told that not to sleep on him, according to the Bankroll Boys.
It's true. It's true.
They were like, this new kid's coming in. Don't worry about it. He's
right.
Second place.
And so he was there, and then there's this woman came in third. She was, and she looks like nothing like what a competitive
Asian woman.
Asian woman? Like
the
she
little
is.
Asian woman? Yeah.
And she killed. Just killed. And got in third place. And the best was that to the bottom right was this giant fat dude. And he looked like if you watch Breaking Bad, he's the guy who's like Saul Goodman's security guy with the kind of weird-looking head. He's just this gigantic mountain of a man. And he sat there, and it took him like 4 times as long as everyone to eat the bologna.
Well,
he's like, I'm going to sit here
and
enjoy this.
Contest. At that point, he can't get his mouth moving that fast.
It was entertaining for the 90 seconds it took for them to eat 2 pounds of bologna, but I was
now,
in.
What got you off of it? Now, you were watching it, and then what pulled you away?
Because I didn't realize they were doing it in segments. Like the after the bologna thing, it was done, and you had to wait till I think the next day to watch the milk and cookies.
I'm like, what?
And I guess it's because you can't. These poor people can't gorge that much, like 4 rounds of gorging, back to back to back to back.
I suppose, yeah.
So they spread it out over days. So I saw the 90 seconds of them shoving the stuff in their face in the bologna,
And I guess since then, I don't know if it's been decided or if tonight's the finals, but it was 90 seconds of entertainment, to be quite honest. Not too bad. Not
Oscar
bad at
Meyer,
all.
What an advertisement for Oscar Meyer, by the way.
Right, just made it look so appetizing.
Yeah, just go. It should just be like, each thing is a pound. Oscar Meyer. Tried and true, it's a pound.
It was pretty fantastic. Well, listen, you know you messed up when you get in trouble for not social distancing enough in Florida.
Let's talk about the sports teams and how great they've been. I got to tell you this story, too. I always tell people, I'm not one to gossip, so you didn't hear this from me. But, you know, our parks are closed down, and so a lot of our park staff, you know, they patrol around just to make sure that their people aren't in there with contact sports and things. And saw an individual working out in one of our downtown parks, and she went over to tell him that it was closed and it was Tom Brady.
So, oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
So, he has been cited.
Oh, that is the mayor of Tampa, and Tom Brady gets busted in Tampa for using the park against the city's orders. Throw him in jail. Afterwards, the city of Tampa's
Wait, so
Twitter.
You're not allowed to use the park yourself?
I think he was with people working out. It wasn't just by himself.
That is a faux pas that you are not allowed to do.
No.
That's true.
So afterwards, the city of Tampa's Twitter account tweeted, quote, sorry, Tom Brady, our Parks and Rec team can't wait to welcome you and our entire community back with even bigger smiles. They apparently called that, got a 911 call from Mr. Will Welichek, who was watching in the bushes. Wanted to believe there might have been some Bon Jovi playing in the background during that call. But this year, but I don't know if you got, I'm sure Fred, you saw it because I heard you mention it, but this year's NFL draft might just be the best thing for all the wrong reasons.
I can't wait to see it. It's going to be great.
It's so dumb. the problems that they're having are so dumb and avoidable.
Because they're easily solvable. I know, but listen. But then again, you got a bunch of like you know old folks trying to deal. It's like Fred. It reminds me of when you said you had your Passover dinner, and everyone's like, "Does this work?" And nobody knows how to turn mute on.
Like everything was like showing the ceiling. Yes, I know. But
so,
they think that we're so naive. That with that, like, it's going to be some old guy like hitting buttons on a computer. You're in a billion-dollar business. I have a feeling, Rich, that if I need IT help, it's on the way.
Oh, Fred, reports yesterday were just awesome. So you got the big day coming up Thursday. The NFL decided to do this mock draft yesterday to try to get ahead of whatever glitches or hangups they might face. And I am happy to report that it was a disaster. Glitches, communication faux pas, numerous GMs who said they were fed up with the entire process that all came rolling in yesterday. Yep. Deandre Rossini of ESPN reported one GM saying there are early communication issues because 32 of us are on a conference call and none of us hit mute. It sounds awful. Yeah. Even better, Adam Schefter yesterday tweeted, quote, mock draft today, already a technical glitch with Cincinnati's first pick. Imagine the draft being shut down before even the
They're faking it.
See, I think so too.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Because they've been bitching about this thing since day one.
Does anyone honestly believe that the GM of the Cincinnati Bengals is sitting in his house pecking away at a computer? I mean, come on. It's insanity. If I own Procter & Gamble and I have to make day trades, am I sitting in my underwear and making I mean, come on, guys.
I mean, I think he's at home. I don't think that's the problem.
No, I think he's at home. I don't think that he's alone.
No, there are a squadron of IT guys sitting out, if he's doing social distancing, there are a squadron of IT guys sitting outside waiting for the call, if anything goes wrong.
Yeah, sitting, quotations, outside. Okay.
Well, yeah, obviously, they're sitting right off camera where no one can see them. But yeah, but the point is, it's obvious that nobody likes, none of the NFL GMs like this, and they're doing everything they can to bitch and moan and throw shade at it.
That's exactly what they're doing. And the idea that they can't, that Cincinnati had problems going through with their technology is asinine. There's absolutely, if the three of us idiots can get onto the radio at the same time, telling me that the GM of the Bengals doesn't have the resources to get on the computer? And then they. By the way, these are teams that have conference calls every week.
Yeah.
Like, they are, you know, aware of a conference. These are titans of business.
Yeah.
So they are, they're not able to field a conference call.
Oh, see, it's great either way, because you're, let's say just for some reason, and it's not, I agree with you, Fred, let's say it's real. Well, it's going to be a disaster on Thursday. And if it's not, then you're going to see a bunch of crybabies on TV on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
All complaining about it, which is going to be
right. They're going to complain, and then there's going to be something happened, and we weren't able to get our pick in, and you're going to go, this is idiot. I mean, remember when Minnesota couldn't get their pick in?
Yeah.
In that draft? I mean, and they were there.
I know. That was when they were all together. The one downside to this is the first round will take a long, 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 long time. If things like this happen,
I don't care. The first round to me, I don't care. You can make it as long as you want. Like, to me,
well, if you have a team that you're rooting for that picks you at the end of the first round and will more than likely trade down, it sucks,
dude. If there's chaos like that, I'm all in. I mean, like, this,
they're not gonna. I don't know. They think that we're so dumb. It's unbelievable to me how dumb they think we are.
There's not enough bandwidth was one of the complaints. They didn't have enough bandwidth. Like, who's ever complained about bandwidth?
Yeah. Well, they said, my kids were on their iPads. They took up all my bandwidth. Okay.
Right. It's like, it's 2020 right now, and we're all sitting at home working. Everyone's doing this right now, and bandwidth, as you said, Fred, you're like multi-millionaires. Every single one of you, you don't have enough bandwidth. Well, how about this? Go to a place where there's bandwidth.
Yeah, go to Starbucks. They have a... You know, these owners are worth billions. I don't know if that's occurred to anyone, that they, if their business is on the line, I think that they can somehow figure out a way to get some IT people. And I know there's social distancing, but I think that there is, if you have $1 billion on the line, I think that you can get that going. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
All right, we've got something really cool involving the Bruins that's going to be going on today. We'll let you know about that.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Bap. Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Now, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And everybody loves Raymond's on. And you know what Raymond's trying to do? Anyone care to guess?
Hook up with his wife again?
Yep.
All right.
This guy is insatiable.
Hmm.
He married this woman that he just can't get enough of. Can anyone relate to that? how is that like a common theme in comedy? That the man so badly wants to sleep with the wife, and then the wife refuses his advances. I don't know, I don't know one person that this applies to. I don't know any man ever who's been like, you know what's going on? It's my wife won't sleep with me. And all I want to do is sleep with her.
Is that the Everybody Loves Raymond theme?
Yes.
It's got to be.
What do you do? We're going to act like we don't know this? They're my jazz records.
I know this was like a massive show, but the only people I know who watched it are you and my mom.
Yeah, you and my mom. Me and your mom.
Ray Romano, not too bad in The Irishman. Not bad.
No, he's created a little bit of a dramatic actor out of himself when he's not crazily trying to Benny Hill-esque his wife. You said we could do it. All right.
This is the stuff we're replacing the playoffs with right now, which we all would have been sitting and watching. NBA and NHL playoffs. And
they're having an argument right now. The parents are around too much. All right, go ahead.
Well, with the NHL still trying to figure out a way to finish the season and give us some sort of closure to what was an awesome regular season so far with the Bruins, Brad Marchand, in a video chant, wanted to warn fans that no matter how the Bruins were playing before the break, this may not be the best thing for his team.
I don't think it's going to help anybody. The only guys it's going to help is, you know, got teams that have had injuries, significant injuries, especially to big players. You know, you look at the Stamkos, who was hurt, and guys like that. Now have the time to regroup and get back healthy again. It's not going to help any team that was playing well at that time. You know, maybe a few days might have, but, you know, when you take a month or 2 months or 3 months or whatever it's going to be, it's going to hurt everyone, like I said, especially the fact that we can't skate and we can't keep our conditioning level up or our skills going. It's going to hurt everybody in the league. Everybody's going to be sloppy when they come back. And I honestly think that the teams that are going to come back and look good are the really young teams, teams like Toronto or Tampa, just really high-end skilled teams. They're going to have the legs. They're going to be able to get it back quick. But older teams are really going to struggle.
Well, that's not good news, because I think I saw yesterday that the Bruins are the second oldest team in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, the window's closing. That's what really sucks.
Two-thirds of their first line are old. They're obviously, they have... Is Char the oldest guy in the NHL, I would imagine?
What's Thornton's age?
Oh, okay, that's a good call.
Then they're even.
They're close.
I mean, yeah, they're old. They depend on a lot of older players. So, I don't think that puts them in a great situation.
Char is older, believe it or not.
Wow.
Char is older.
Well, there you go. Oldest guy in the league, it seems like. Well, Bruce Cassidy did a video chat yesterday, and even he seems to think, even he's rather still in the dark about how the season is going to finish.
I'm ready to go whenever they tell us to. It's a situation that will be dictated first from the political side of it. Are we going to open up? Are there buildings available, et cetera? So once that's clarified, what parameters are we playing? And then I think that's all negotiated by the owners, GM/NHLPA. So really, as coaches, we're just in the middle, and we're told what to do, when to be there, and we'll be ready. And it's up to us to be ready to go. So on that part, I have no feel for what's going on around the league.
But listen, one thing is for certain. When Dan Roach is the one asking the questions.
Take me out to the ballgame.
Can we all admit that, Danny Roach?
Can we all admit that, unironically, this is really scary?
That's the video of him filming his backyard as it's snowing on Saturday morning.
Can we admit that, like, unironic? Let's take irony out of it. Let's take that what we know Dan Roach out of it. Mm-hmm. If you're watching a movie and that's happening, are you not afraid?
Yeah, he's naked and putting lipstick on at this point.
I mean, they have the police detectives, you know, above the big whiteboard, and they're drawing arrows everywhere with pictures, and then you flash to the killer who's doing this in his backyard. Yes, I understand.
Look, if I'm his kids, I'm going like, Dad, what are you doing?
You're checking up on him.
This is insane.
Poor Danny. Well, you know, when sad Danny Roach is asking questions to Bruce Cassidy, you're probably going to get something along these lines.
I know our players are excited about this opportunity, and I'm saying, you know, assuming it's coming. So I believe that part of it, they'll be highly motivated to get themselves ready to play, and that's where you hope during this break that guys have...
Oh, that's the wrong cut, darn it. I want to play the one where Dan Roach is asking him about throwing the old ball out back. play it, Dan. This is, of course, Dan Roach would ask this question. Go for it.
Hey, Bruce, help you throwing strikes when it comes to throwing BP to Cole. I know it's not an easy thing to do sometimes.
He hits me all over the park. That's a good thing, I guess, right?
I love that.
Okay.
Oh, Danny, you are the
best. Any excuse.
Any excuse. But listen, if you are jonesing for your Bruins fix, tonight is actually going to rule. This might be the first old game rerun that I'm truly looking forward to watching. Nesson has put together something kind of awesome. I'll give him credit. This evening, Game 7 of the 2011 Stanley Cup Final will be aired at 8:30, but there's a twist in what the team is dubbing Locker Room Time Machine. the entire 2011 Bruins team is expected to simultaneously reunite via live stream on the Bruins official YouTube channel to watch and comment on the game. Now, during the telecast, Nesson's going to be showing all the live tweets from the Bruins official Twitter account. Also, subscribers to the Bruins YouTube channel, they're going to get a notification when the whole thing begins, and it's going to be on all their different platforms as well. I've heard even Tim Thomas is going to be a part of this. Now, as awesome as this thing sounds like it will be, and it will be, my only criticism, I wish it were game three of that series. You know, the one where Milan Lucic shoved his finger into Alex Burrows' mouth. Remember, the Canucks were so damn cocky. The Sedins with the vegetarian Alex Burrows. That was the game where the Bruins punched him in the mouth and turned the tide of the series. I went and looked back at it because I just remember game three being everything. It was an 8-1 blowout. There were 145 penalty minutes. 145. It was the game that Aaron Rome became public enemy number one for his hit on Horton. Marchand had a shorty. It was the game that, remember, it was the one where everyone, Fred, I will give you credit. You had been calling for Tyler Seguin to take the bench and to put in Sean Thornton. And sure enough, Seguin in that game, a healthy scratch. Thornton went nuts. There were four goals in the second, four goals in the third. The best game of the series, hands down. Now, game seven is going to be awesome because they won the cup, but game three, I get chills just thinking about that one.
So the last time I was right. Dan, what do you think about the whole thing?
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the
I'm something. Like, why is he not singing louder? Who's he afraid of waking up?
He's depressed.
He's no, Dan was up at 6 in the morning. You don't understand. Dan was
yeah,
up
but
at
it's
6
not like if
morning.
I sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game outside that the neighbors are going to be pounding on the windows.
No, it's him. It's a sad. It's like, you know, when you know, the Brady Bunch is a sad moment, and it's in a minor key when they make the transition. You know, it's like...
Well, when they're happy, it goes...
Right. This is like the sad one, you know? You got to transition that way. Well, that's Dan.
Well, listen, right now Raymond's got some issues with his family. They're all together. They live too close.
We can hear it, I think, in the background.
Good. I hope I don't get sued for streaming something better than our show. You want me to turn it down to Raymond?
It's just somewhat distracting, just a little bit.
You want me to turn it down, you're saying?
That might be just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
You're like the brother? You want? Do you think Raymond's getting too much credit here?
These are references I don't understand. I never watched the show, but I'm guessing the brother's a knave.
He's got his issues.
Is he a scallywag? Is this guy a real scoundrel?
No, he's not a scoundrel. It's called Everybody's Loves Raymond because like he's like, what can I do? What can I? I mean, everyone loves Raymond, and I'm here too.
Is Brad Garrett his brother? Is that his brother?
Yes, yeah, Brad Garrett is his brother.
They came from the same seed. Brad Garrett's like 2 feet taller than him.
I was
going
to say, Brad's a real tall guy.
Yes, but he, when he eats, he has to touch the food to his chin before he will put it in his mouth.
Oh, okay.
So he is a very flawed person. Well, what I will do is during the break, I will, against my will, lower the volume of the television. And so we are not listening to Everybody Loves Raymond in the background. I will do that for you. That much I promise, ladies and gentlemen. So we will have that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're very big.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Now, has anyone explored the inside the ropes after the massive layoffs for the WWE?
I didn't. I did not get to hear the depressing, the very depressing chapter, I'm sure, of the podcast, the hit podcast that Jay Stu and Sarge do together. No, I heard it.
Now, was there an emergency podcast?
They all seem like emergency podcasts, Fred. It just always seems like, whoa, we got to talk about this podcast now.
Yeah, this is coming out hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. Well, we'll see what goes on with that. What else is going on, Rich?
Well, so The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, everyone knew it was going to do well, but man, it killed. 6.1 million viewers for episodes 1 and 2 over ESPN and ESPN2. ESPN2 is where you can watch the sanitized version where you don't hear Michael Jordan dropping the F-bomb as much. Michael Jordan just very casually dropping F-bombs to the point where you don't even realize he's doing it, to be quite honest. It's the most watched documentary in ESPN history, which tops You Don't Know Bo. That had 3.6 million. So, I mean, a little less than double the amount for that one. But one of the stories that came out of it that I'm surprised we have never heard is the one about how in 1986, during the playoff series, the opening round playoff series with the Bulls, Danny Ainge played golf with Michael Jordan, which was a weird story because I was sitting there watching. I was like, how did they know each other? I mean, Jordan essentially just got into the league, and why Danny Ainge, of all people? And Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe actually got the inside scoop on this. He talked to Danny Ainge, and he kind of told him the inside details. Apparently, Ainge was contacted by Boston Herald sports writer Mike Carey at the time, and Michael Jordan wanted to play a round of golf. I guess this guy, Mike Carey, also used to do stuff on the side, like arranging autograph events and stuff like that, so he was close with these guys. Danny Ainge was like, sure, sounds fun to me. And he said there was plenty about the arrangement that was odd. Ainge and Jordan knew each other but had never spent time together and were hardly friends. They said, most stunningly, in the middle of a playoff series, Ainge was like, this is very, very rare. I don't think I've even met or had dinner or even had a phone conversation with any other opponent my whole career before a playoff game. And I guess what the deal was that, you know, Danny Ainge wasn't one of these guys who, you know, was like a party or anything like that. So a golf outing seemed to make sense. And Danny Ainge was a golfer. He said, Michael was like me. He didn't really want to do other stuff that a lot of players did in those days. He just wanted to play golf. And you had so much time on your hands. So Ainge said, and Fred, you're right. This is weird. I would not expect Danny Ainge to do this, but they were indeed playing each hole for money. And that Danny Ainge won more than he lost. He said it was clear that Jordan, ever the competitor, was not thrilled about it. When the round ended, Ainge said Jordan made it clear that he wanted to play again for a chance at redemption. He might have even had wanted to keep playing that day. And Danny Ainge, of course, just on the documentary, also said, I did beat him. I talked a little trash. I just remember it was a good time. He did say, when I got dropped off, tell your boy DJ I've got something for him tomorrow. Michael was so competitive. He really, really wanted to win. And, of course, we know that afterwards he scored 63 points.
I'm being told that he played 36 holes that day.
It says, yeah, 36 holes. Yeah, they played 36 holes.
By the way, I'd rather put a gun in my mouth than play 36 holes of golf.
Dude, after you know what? You know what might be perfect? I always say 9 holes. Probably 12 is perfect. Like you do like the first 3 holes of the back 9, and then I'm just wanting it to be over with. Like,
there's
just
a golf course in Framingham that's only 14 because they ran out of room. Perfect.
Fred and I used to play a course like that had like some odd number like that. It was like 12 or 13 holes.
And it had like a net by the tee box so you couldn't hit it. And we would find malt liquor that you would never find anywhere else in the world. King Cobra malt liquor.
People were passed out like by the green.
Yeah, bums were like passed out like in the middle of the course. Yeah, they were just passed out in the middle of the course. Was it a bad course?
No.
Yeah. Just a lot of bums.
Millwood, I think it's Millwood Farms. It's like right across the street from a state park, and the park originally was going to sell them the land to build the final 4 holes, and then they backed out at the last minute. So 14 holes. It's perfect.
Yeah. This is kind of funny. From this article, it said, although Ainge's day on the course with Jordan in 86 was their first round together, it was certainly not their last. Ainge said the Bulls star looked for creative ways to reclaim their upper hand. During one round in Phoenix, when Ainge played for the Suns, Jordan brought fellow North Carolina alumnus and NBA player Al Wood, who was on Jordan's side in the foursome. Jordan told Ainge that Wood was an 8 handicapped, and Ainge nodded, and the match began. Quote, and Al was anything but an 8, Ainge said. He played that day like he was a +2 handicap. He shot 70 from the back tees. Michael was laughing all the way to the bank that day. He absolutely crushed us. And I guess 36 holes is a normal thing.
Jordan,
when they were
yeah.
playing in Portland, it said Team USA was in Portland to play the Tournament of the Americas. They all played together. He goes, I played 36 holes that day with Michael, and it was a hot, sunny day. I dropped him off at the hotel, and then I went home, showered, got dressed, and went to this game, and I couldn't believe how much energy he had after 36 holes in the hot sun. He was full-court pressuring 72. And dogging everyone.
He would play 72 holes,
oh my, that's
Jordan,
insane.
Because he's so competitive and he gambles. I mean, he said, from all stories, he's a compulsive gambler. I'm very surprised that Danny gambled with him. I thought you're not supposed to do that, but
that was the early days of Danny Ainge.
Chuck Daly just cut him loose, right? They got to that resort,
yes.
wherever it was in Europe, and Chuck's
yes.
like, go do what you want. As long as you play well, I don't care.
Well, he let them lose to the college kids.
That's right.
And
that's
then right. They, you know, and then the world was their oyster. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just could hear the backing singers were pretty into it.
95 oh, yeah.
The Sports Hub, we were Toucher and Rich. Now, is that like from some Southern like Baptist situation?
Oh, yeah. That's that preacher, his last name's Copeland, but he's like, you know, one of those mega church televised preachers. And he made this speech when this thing first started happening. And he has like the altar, or I don't know what they call it in that religion, but it's like the stage. And there's like 6 or 7 people to his left and right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.